Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, I am so excited to announce a new thing that we are going to be launching in the next 30 to 45 days. We are coming up with an entire online e-course. Now, we are totally in beta right now, so what that means, we are in the process of making it, and we are looking for 15 to 20 people who want to be a part of finding their purpose and getting launched into what they're called to do. So let me tell you what this looks like. When we're finished with this course, we're going to be selling it for $297. If you join right now, you send an email to me, you get on the contact or the About Me page, and send me an email. We're going to take the first 20 people. So I highly recommend, if you're hearing this, I would jump on it if you have any interest. And let me tell you why. We're not selling it for the $297 to get started. If you log in now, send me an email, you will get the course for $97. And not just that, we are also going to do a bunch more stuff on top of this, only for the first 20 people. And let me tell you what that looks like. You're going to get lifetime access to the course. You're going to be part of a closed Facebook group that you'll never have to pay for. Down the road, we're going to be charging for this group. And also, you're going to get my book for free, Remodel Your Life. And you're also going to get my friend Rusty's book, who's producing the course, Entrepurpose book. We'll send both of those books to you digitally. Plus, you get the closed Facebook lifetime access. And then on top of that, kind of a caveat, you're going to get direct access to both Rusty and myself through 4 video calls. So you're going to get all this for $97. And as soon as we launch the course, it's going to go up to $297 and you won't get any of the other free stuff. So it's just for the first 20 people. So check it out. Get on there. If you have any interest, get on there. Let me know. We'll be sending some stuff out, get you guys plugged in, part of the group. You're going to find your purpose. We're going to help you with a purpose statement, declaration statement, and stepping into everything that God has for you this year and for your life. So jump in and be a part of what we're doing. Good morning, Roar Nation. Coming at you live from Amarillo, Texas. We are going nationwide this morning. I'm super excited to bring on not just any guest, but also my cousin from Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to dive right in. Natalie Schlabs Rogers, is that correct?
That is correct with my legal name. My music name is Natalie Schlabs.
Okay. So, yeah. Awesome, man. We are excited to jump in. Natalie, I want to jump in a little bit. I'm going to tell my listeners a little bit about you. I've known you most of your life. For talking West Texas here, I would say I've known you since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. I've never heard that saying until I moved here, which is pretty funny. But Natalie, I could say a lot of things about you. I've known you almost your entire life. You have a gorgeous voice. You are a singer, songwriter. There's a lot to say, but I would love for you to tell my audience just more about you and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'm a singer, songwriter living in Nashville, Tennessee now. And I've been doing music more full time since the summer. I've always kind of had a side job. And one of those jobs is that I do some vlogging for food because I really love to cook. And I've been doing that for a while.
I forgot about that.
You're a great cook.
I forgot about that. You're a phenomenal cook.
Well, I try. I had a catering business in Texas, and kind of when I was at a crossroads trying to decide if I was going to keep doing that and stay in Amarillo or move and kind of move into music more, all my catering opportunities dried up at once. I was making a living off of it. Everyone turned me down. And it was really, it was hard not to feel like, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong here. You know, I must be terrible at this. And thankfully I had a few friends that were like, maybe this is a sign that you're supposed to, this, you know, the clear sign that you're supposed to move into music. But I still do a little bit of cooking on the side, obviously for friends and family. And I really love using it as a ministry opportunity, but I do it occasionally for my own blog. And I had been blogging for an online publication called Bluegrass Situation for 2016. And that was a lot of fun and kind of a nice side job to do in the midst of music. But yeah, so basically I lead worship at my church, not every week, but that's something that I'm really passionate about. And I really love serving in the church and love the support it brings, and do singer-songwriter activities, play shows, do some touring. And then I do some cooking on the side.
I love it. We'll dive in more into the cooking and some other stuff down the road. Natalie, what has been an inspirational quote or scripture for you? It could be just even this season, or maybe even like a life quote for you. What comes to your mind?
Well, I kind of have two. I don't know if we have time to dive into both of them, but the first one that comes to mind is Psalm 31:14-15. And when I was a senior in high school, I was really stressing and struggling with a lot of anxiety and worry about what was next, as I'm sure a lot of seniors do, but especially me, because I really wanted to know what was next and I really didn't have a clue. But I was reading one day and I opened up to, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." And that's something that has kind of been a thread in my life. Every time I feel like I'm at a point where I'm kind of in between things, or I don't really know how what I'm planting now is going to develop, or if it's going to be, you know, something that's really worthwhile, I just kind of keep going back to, "My times are in your hands. Times are in your hands. You know what's going to happen." And so that's one kind of lifelong one. And then recently, I guess really the last couple of years, one quote that has given me a lot of purpose for music is one from the theologian N.T. Wright. Kind of a long one if you brace yourself, but it says, "The point of the resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present, by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, will last in God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it all behind. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom." So that is one that...
Man, I love that.
I know, it's so great, right?
Oh, that's so awesome.
That is from his book, Surprised by Hope, which is a really, really excellent read. He's really great in general. But I do feel like when I feel discouraged, or when I feel like, what is the purpose of me making music? Is it just to get my name out there? Is it just for people to hear my songs? Because sometimes that just feels so empty. And like, I don't want to live my life in an empty pursuit. But I read that and I think, no, my hope is that as I'm doing this, this is building for God's kingdom and will last into the future.
You know what I was thinking about, what I love, Natalie, about that quote, and then what you just said, though, is I think of it like this. So every time you write a song and every time you sing that song, what people get to see is a piece of God expressed, not through anybody else, but through you. That's unique to you. And I think so long, maybe in the church, or people have looked at it as like being prideful, or look what Natalie's done, or look what John has done, or so-and-so. But what we miss is it's a gift. God gave it to us. But when it comes out of us, what we are seeing is the creativity and the beauty of what God has made through us.
Yeah.
And I think when people can see it, not as what we've done, and even ourselves, looking at ourselves, not what we have done, but what God is doing through us, because he is ultimately the creator. And it's just an expression of like this small atom of who he is coming out of us. And the whole world gets to see just how creative. Because I was thinking about this the other day. How many songs have ever been written or sung? Like, they're endless, right?
Yeah, I mean, just millions.
They never quit, but yet they keep coming out of people because that's how creative God is. And obviously not all are inspired by God, so don't send me any emails, people. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying it is literally, God is just endless. So
absolutely. And I think that that's one thing that I can also hold on to. And really any singer songwriter can say, when you start to feel like, what am I doing? Because there's already a million songs out there. Who needs my voice? And it's like, well, you have something really unique that's only you. You have your own experiences, your own voice, and people will see something unique in you that is not overdone, you know, because it's God and he's endless.
Amen. Nobody can do you better than you.
Absolutely.
So, Natalie, I would love to dive in. I know you have been doing music your entire life. You come from a very musical family. 8 years, we talked about before the show, you've been doing writing and singing. But the last 4 years, you've been in Nashville. And I would love to go on, if you would kind of take me down the journey of making that decision, which I think you barely glimpsed into as far as your catering business drying up, which obviously was a God thing. But I would love, tell me about the pursuit of music and what made you decide to go down the road and do what you're doing now.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, I was catering and I really was enjoying doing that. But at the same time as that, I started writing, and what got me in really was the classic breakup situation that happens with a lot of singer-songwriters, which is funny because I never kind of pictured myself like that. But I had broken up with my boyfriend, who was my first boyfriend, and I really thought, like, this is the person I'm going to marry. And it just didn't seem like it was going in a good direction. And I felt really, it was clear that we didn't need to be together. But because I was really heartbroken, I had so much to say, like so much was bubbling out of me. And I had been putting off playing guitar, and my friend Dan Atkins, which, you know, he was giving me a few guitar lessons here and there. But I basically just had to start writing. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I wasn't even thinking about what I could do with it. I just had to sit down and start pouring into writing. And so that was a really interesting season of, I was still catering, but I was writing all the time and playing guitar. And I just felt like I wanted to do that constantly. So it was a really kind of intense sewing in that. But what got me interested in Nashville was, my friend Ryan Colwell came here several years before I did, and he was writing and recording, and he had always gotten me to sing on his albums. One was in Dallas, one was in Amarillo, but this one was in Nashville, and he asked me to come up and record on it, and I did. But what ended up happening was I met Josh, my husband, in that recording process. I had kind of known who he was in Amarillo because he's from there, but I walked in and he was playing bass, and I thought, oh, you seem familiar. And we realized that we knew each other from Amarillo. And we just became really good friends.
I was waiting for you to say he was standing there and you're like, man, he looks hot.
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, I totally sent my roommate a picture and was like, bass player is
That's what I wanted to get out of you. Not just this, oh, we became friends. You were checking him out thinking, dude, this guy's got it going on. All right. Truth be told.
Well, I totally, totally thought that. But I broke up with my boyfriend like 6 months prior and was like, dating is the worst. I'm not really interested at all in that right now. But I was like, whoa, he is cute. And so I messaged my roommate and she was like, don't do anything stupid. And I was like, okay. So it was kind of crazy too, because he had all these connections from my hometown. His mom she's from the same town that I'm from, Hereford, Texas. And his grandma lived there, and his grandma and grandpa were like mentors to my parents, and just, we had all these connections. It was really crazy. But after that point, I started like sending some of my songs to Josh. Because he was asking about them, and I was so embarrassed because I felt like he's this big Nashville musician touring, you know, around with bands. And I'm just this like Texas girl who's trying to write, doesn't know how to write. But he started encouraging me. So that was a pretty monumental aspect of the story. If he was like, listen, you just got to keep going. Like, don't get stuck where you are and feeling like you're not good enough. You just got to keep going. Like, your songs have so much potential. There was a couple of times where I could tell he really didn't like what I said. But he was always encouraging and always had something constructive to say. I don't know how much to get into this part of it. But for a brief stint, I went to Charleston, South Carolina to a school of worship through AMIA at the time, which is an Anglican kind of church plant. So I did it there, and then I did an internship at my brother's church, actually. and after I went to the classes, and I was trying to decide what I was going to do, because I knew I've always loved worship, and it's always been in my life to some degree, sometimes bigger than others, but I've always kind of had a connection with it and been doing it. So I was kind of trying to decide, God, are you calling me to do a worship position in the church, or am I supposed to do songwriting? I wasn't really sure. So I had this opportunity to go and do that, and I was really excited about it. They were just launching it. So I went and did that. And that was already at the point where my catering just closed up. So I was like, what do I got to lose? You know, I've got roommates in my house helping pay my bills, so I'm just going to go and do this thing. And I did. And at that point, I was offered a job at the church that I was at. I was offered a job back in Amarillo. And Josh and I had started dating at that point. We had been like a year into being friends. We had just started dating long distance. So I had these three things before me, and I was like, man, what do I do? This is really hard. Going back to Texas that I love and leading worship there and seeing my friends again, being close to my family, like that seems like a really great option, especially with getting some training that I got. And then, you know, staying in Charleston and kind of branching out a little bit, but I'm still close to my brother. And all this makes sense too, because I have a lot of friends here now. But Josh and I were dating, and I'm not the kind of person who really just enjoys drawing things out. So I was like, okay, I really like this guy. He's got great character. I think this is getting serious. So I don't want to get stuck in a job somewhere. So Nashville seems like a pretty obvious place. But that also kind of freaks me out, because what if I move there and we break up and here I am in the city kind of alone and kind of doing music, but also like, how am I even going to do music there? But I just felt like that was the next thing. Like it was pretty clear to me, even despite my fears, that that was the most obvious step that God was calling me to. And even then, if I felt like I couldn't say God was calling me to it, because I didn't want to, like, I was like, am I really sure? I just had this feeling. It was like a gut feeling that this is the next thing. So I moved to Nashville. When I moved there, my husband boyfriend at the time, obviously, he was touring, and he was gone for the first 2 months I was here. So that was really frightening. I was like scared to death of everything, because it was really my first time moving, really, really branching out away from family, away from the familiar. My roommate at the time, who's really lovely, she had like thousands of followers on Vine and was always playing music and doing co-writing. And that was super intimidating to me, because I just thought like, oh my gosh, I don't even, what am I doing here? I moved here because I knew Josh and I was serious, but I've only been songwriting for a couple of years and I'm not good enough to be in Nashville. Like, why, how am I here doing this? You know, what did I get myself into? So I really didn't write for the first year I was here. I would say I wrote one song, and the first line was, oh God, what am I doing here?
Natalie, I want to ask you this, because I'm hearing a lot on confidence, which is great. So because, and I'm just being honest with you because I want to hit this, were you lacking the confidence because of what you were seeing around you? Not so much what God had put in you, but you were looking to, kind of like Peter stepping out in the boat, like when he starts to sink, he's looking at circumstances around him. And I'm going to be honest, if it was me, I'd probably be intimidated too. But do you feel like that kind of held you back at first a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, comparison is a big problem for me. And I think it's also a big problem for a lot of people that are here in Nashville, because you look around and you're so close up to other people that are doing well, or other people that are amazing or better musicians or whatever it is. So it's immediately, you're kind of flung into a comparison, an area where comparison is so easy. And I already struggled with that. And so, yeah, I think that that's definitely what was happening, is I was looking around and thinking, I don't measure up to this. Like, what am I doing here? I'm not good enough to stay away. So I was very intimidated, and I really, really was kind of like frozen up for a year, just trying to get myself out there as a person and get people to know me and start to feel comfortable just with who I was in general, because I did not feel ready to put myself out there creatively. That felt like even more of a step. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's like, I already feel so unsure as a person, and, you know, not even to mention like singing and playing guitar and writing songs. That's way too far. So for the first year, I kind of hunkered down, and I think Josh was getting a little bit worried about me. Like, what happened to my girlfriend? She was this confident, like somewhat extroverted person, and now she's kind of turned inward and really is not sharing herself very much. I think he was a little freaked out at first, but I kept telling him, like, give me time. This is just harder than I thought it was going to be. I knew it was going to be hard, but I didn't expect it to be this hard.
So, Natalie, I want to ask you, where was that shift that you had? Was there like this day or this moment or something Josh did or somebody, something was said? Because somewhere that boat had to turn and start sailing another direction. What happened there?
Well, I would say it was probably right after we got married and we're kind of settling in. I was like, okay, I can't really use getting married and moving as an excuse anymore. What am I going to do? And Josh basically encouraged me, take one step, like do one thing you're afraid of. Like, is that asking someone to co-write with you that you're afraid to, that you feel intimidated by? Is that doing an open mic night? Like, do just one thing. That's all you got to focus on. And that kind of took it from being this expansive, scary, elusive thing to like, oh, one thing, just have to do one thing. So I decided to reach out to a guy who I had experience recording with when I was hanging out my friend Ryan's album. He produced it. And I said, hey, you mentioned wanting to co-write. I would love to take you up on that offer. And so we wrote a few weeks later, and then we wrote the next week, and then we wrote the next week, and then we wrote the next week, until he said, I think you have an album here. We finished all of your songs, and I think we should record it. And I was like, what? So it was really crazy how just taking one step basically led to something that I probably would have been really scared to start. I would have been thinking, oh my gosh, doing an entire album, that's a big deal. But it just kind of led there step by step, pretty naturally. So I would say that was probably the turning point.
I love that because, man, I love Josh's advice because there is so much wisdom in what he said. And when I coach people and when I do stuff, it's literally just find that one thing. It can be a small thing. It doesn't matter. But just literally take a step in that direction. And you can see that one step of your husband encouraging you or a friend or just anybody to go in that direction, that led from writing to continually to writing to now you have an album.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's really crazy. Like step by step, that's where I landed. And my friend Ryan did say when I told him, like, I'm really scared to do this. And this kind of happens periodically. Every time I get freaked out, I usually tell him, like, I'm scared to do this. And he's like, okay, do you think even if you stopped playing out or recording, would you still keep writing? I'm like, yeah, I do. I think that that's really a part of who I am. And it's a really important outlet for me. And he always says, like, okay, do you think it'd be really beneficial for you or for anyone else for you to bury what God has given you, not show it to anybody and hoard it for yourself? Like, no. So he's like, okay, that answers your question then, you know?
Yeah, I love that. So what is that one thing that you would do even if you didn't get paid to do it, but you could just do it because it's a natural overflow of who you are? And man, you're just dropping tons of stuff for our listeners because I think people need to hear that because a lot of times we don't realize the things that we're just naturally gifted at or it's an overflow of our heart. We take those things for granted because we just think, oh, well, it's natural or it's just easy for me. Or we kind of put it on the shelf as no big deal when in fact, that is who we are and it needs to come out. And we need to share that with the world because that's who God created us to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it no longer is just about, am I good enough to do this or do I measure up? But it becomes about, this is what I do, and I want it to be a resource to other people, and I want to share what God has given, not because I'm so great, but because he's great, you know? I mean, it's kind of trite to say, but really, he gives us unique gifts and abilities, and when we take them for granted, we're really taking for granted what God is hoping to do with them.
Absolutely. Natalie, I want to kind of skip around on a couple questions. I want to ask you, what do you feel like your biggest strength is in what you do?
So I really think I've only really discovered this in the last couple of years, but I would say two things that I think that is a strength in this area is dealing with people, whether it's in a co-write or on tour or dealing with a musician that I'm hiring. I really, really love people. And I think it's really important to treat people well. And so I think that just dealing with people, even difficult people, I don't really have a hard time with being kind or being patient or whatever. So I think even in hard circumstances, if we're on tour and something goes wrong, I can usually keep my cool and not treat people badly. So So I think that that's one thing that I've discovered is like, okay, I really, really enjoy the people aspect of my job. And I don't really have a hard time with including people or getting to know people or just trying to have integrity with my feelings with them. So I think that that's a huge thing that not a lot of people think about in terms of music. But if you don't have integrity, it is really hard to do anything, I think. I mean, of course, people get ahead by doing wrong things and bad things. And I see that in music all the time. But if you're going to have a really, really lasting, meaningful career, then you really have to treat people well and do what you say you're going to do. And that is one thing that it's really important to me to have integrity. So that comes relatively naturally for me. But the second thing is, I don't know how to put this into words, but I would say planning and timing. I really like to pay my musicians like before a show or the day of a show. I like to send them, you know, spreadsheets of what our tour is going to be like. I like to be ready when they come for rehearsal. And I'm starting to see that as a strength. I think before I just thought, I didn't think about it. And my husband told me, like, this is where you shine, is being on time, doing what you say you're going to do with people, and being organized, which not a lot of...
I was just going to say, man,
that way.
The only musician that I know who is organized and on time would be my wife.
Totally that way.
Yes. I mean, you two, I mean, that's it. Because I have been around musicians for the last 20 years because Casey and you guys, everybody lead in worship. And I got to say, they are just, time is not relevant. It's a whole nother dimension and late and just not organized. So that is a huge quality, which I think will serve you very well.
Well, it is something that comes really naturally to me, and I'm really trying to step more into the realms of music that require that because it comes so naturally. So there are plenty of things that don't when it comes to music. So,
okay. Natalie, what do you feel like, and I could guess on this one, going off your biggest strength, but what do you feel like your biggest weakness is?
In music?
It could just be music or just in life that you're aware of that you overcome.
Yeah, I would say two things kind of tied together is self-doubt, not really valuing myself enough or valuing what I'm doing enough to be confident in it. And the second thing would be perfectionism, because I don't know if our listeners or the listeners that are hearing this are familiar with Enneagram, but I'm a one on the Enneagram, and it's really difficult for me to do things that I'm afraid of because I'm always wanting to wait until it's perfect or not put anything out until it's perfect. And I'm discovering, especially in music and certainly in life, that really can't wait until it's perfect to move forward in something or until you deem it's perfect enough, because it kind of is never really perfect by usually anybody's standards and by my own. And I kind of just have to take the plunge a lot of times, or I have to move forward in what I'm afraid to do. So there are certain things in music, especially, that I'm really afraid to do, whether it's like asking someone for a favor or emailing someone about a show or whatever it is. And it takes a lot of confidence to be able to do it. And I also have to let go the idea of like, this has got to be the perfect email, this has got to be the perfect thing, because that ties me up from doing, it ties me up from taking risks, honestly. So I think probably perfectionism, which can be a good thing on one side, but on the flip side, it really can cause me to not take any risks and want to remain exactly where I'm comfortable.
I love that you said that. One of my closest, dearest friends, he's a internet marketer and coach, but he always says his thing, and he's like you, he's a perfectionist, and he has struggled with that. But his biggest advice, he says, is just ship it. And meaning that, like, it'll never be what you want it to be, but get it as close as you can and then just get it out there. And then the more you get stuff out there, the better it gets. But if you're always waiting for that one thing to be right, it's never going to be right.
Absolutely.
And you have to, because just an analogy, when I go back, I remember the very first time I ever flipped a house. I was like 20 years old. And this sounds so funny, like talking about like not even being able to write a song, right? When you get to Nashville, well, I didn't even know how to lay tile in a bathroom. And like the thought of it was so overwhelming. And there was, and this house was like an easy flip. I mean, all I had to do was just scrape the floor, lay some tile, and paint the walls. Like, it doesn't get any easier than that. And like, I was so overwhelmed, and I had to hire this guy to show me how to do it. And he did it. And it was such a big deal to me. And I look back, I mean, even 5 years down the road after that, I look back and I laugh because, I mean, that's like the perfect flip house now if I was to buy it. And but what's funny about that is it seems so overwhelming and so big at the time, but it's really not. And it's going back to what you said before is just taking that step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, it literally just gets easier and easier and easier. So I'm saying that to encourage you, which I think you're already obviously well down your path, but those are listeners also, like, just do it. And if you fall on your face, well, the beauty of it is you do get right back up and you just fall again. It's kind of like walking. You just keep falling until you figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And most people that have any measure of success in any field, if you listen to their stories, you think like, wow, they had a lot of failure before they ended up here. And that's a really important part of the journey, is failing while you're doing it, I think, or I'm discovering at least.
No, I agree with you. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I don't even know who it was, but they kind of mentioned it. I'm paraphrasing, but they basically, the guy said he was being interviewed. It might've even been a guy, Sir Richard Branson from Virgin Records and Virgin Airlines. It might've been him or somebody, but they basically said, like, failure is your greatest mentor because it's painful and it can be costly, but you don't learn from success what you learn from failure, because it hurts and you have to dig deep and you have to think about it. And that's just the way it is. And I mean, I'm sure between the two of us, we could have tons of stories, but
yeah.
That being said, Natalie, what is the biggest thing that God is just stirring inside of you right now?
Well, I think that it has been a kind of a tough season of writing for me, because I've been doing some writing on my own, which I really got used to co-writing, which is very, very common thing in Nashville. But I kind of got addicted to it and stepped back for a few months and wanted to kind of write some songs of my own and let them just kind of develop without having someone come in and finish it quickly. And so I think that because of that, I'm still in the middle of working on my second album, and it's been a little bit slower than last time, but I really feel right now that God is moving me into, or calling me to finish this album, to work on it, to figure out who I'm going to have produce it and all of those things. And it really, for me, it's really hard because there's a lot of choices and I feel like, oh, what if I make the wrong one? And so that makes me want to halt and just like stay where I am. But I really feel like I need to focus on finishing this up. So that's what I'm trying.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, we'll be praying for you. It's something awesome, obviously, is going to come out of that. There's nothing like quality time with yourself and the Lord, right?
That's right.
Natalie, what is a recent book that you would like to share with our audience? I know you're a good book reader. So do you have something that you've read recently that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I'm actually still finishing it up, but it's been really, really given me a lot to think about. It's called You Are What You Love by James K. Smith. It's a little bit of a throwback to St. Augustine, which is, you know, forever ago. But basically, the idea is that we're primarily lovers before we're thinkers. And even if we think that our intellect and just our thinking guides us, if we pay really close attention, it's our loves that are driving us to do what we're doing. And it's given me a lot to think about for a lot of reasons, but I think one recent thread or principle that I've been thinking about is just to pay really close attention to my heart in this industry or in this season of life. I mean, you know, as somebody who has been in church for forever, you have to, or somebody that's in ministry, sometimes we can get really wrapped up in thinking that we're doing the right thing. I mean, we're in the right activities, we're in disciple making things or spiritual discipline, whatever. But I've been really convicted lately to pay closer attention to my heart and like, what do I really love? You know, I feel like the right answer is to say, I love God, I love His word, I love people, yada, yada, yada. But there's a lot of other stuff going on in my heart if I'm paying attention. And I want to cultivate the work and the things that form my heart to love God first. And it's really easy to get away from that. And so I've been thinking a lot about that and recently decided to do more scripture memorization, not as something that I can just check off my list. It's like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. But really, because I feel like, man, you know what? In this season, I've gotten away from really diving into the word and reading it in chunks. And I feel like I've spent a lot more time on my phone And that's really formed my heart a certain way. And I want to get back to the things that form my heart to love God before A, B, or C. So it's been a really great book, and it's given me a lot to think about. Highly recommend called You Are What You Love.
Awesome. I wrote that down. I will share that with our listeners and on our show notes. That was a great answer, Natalie. I like that one. Okay. So, Natalie, you get, this is one question I never skip for my listeners, and I want to ask you. So if you got to go back to a younger you, like back to the future, so we're going to take a ride in the DeLorean.
Back to the future. Okay.
Okay. And you get
great
to, yes, you get to pick an age. And you're going to give yourself some advice. Now, you're not going to tell yourself anything about what's going to happen. You can't change anything. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen. But you're going to basically give yourself a pep talk, and you're going to encourage yourself. What age would you go to, and what advice are you going to give yourself?
Okay, so I think I would probably go back to when I was 21. That just seemed like a really formidable year for me. And I was kind of in between a lot of things. I would probably just say, stop taking yourself so seriously and just do something. Because I was a very serious teenager and young adult. And I think as I've gotten older, I've actually gotten like sillier and more goofy. And I think that's a good thing because I was a very serious teenager. But I would probably just say, yeah, don't take yourself so seriously. Stop waiting for the perfect moment and just to do something.
Man, girl, you're preaching to me. I got to tell you, it's funny you said that, to not taking yourself so seriously. I find like when I go on vacation or I'm with my family or I'm away from work or all these outside pressures, like I'm such a different person. I'm so much more relaxed. I joke around. Life is just chill and it's a big game and I'm having fun. And then, you know, you get to work or the thing that you do, and it becomes, and I love what I do, but it becomes a grind. Mm. And I get so intense and so focused that I lose the laughter and the humor, I guess, of that. So I'm sure that's for a lot of us. And sometimes we do just need to sit back and just chill.
Yep. And I really wish I could have done that sooner, because I do think like everything happened when it was supposed to. But I think if I had just been a little more willing to take risks and not worry that I was going to do the wrong thing, I think maybe even I would have probably been even further along in what I'm doing and what I've tried.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Natalie, you dropped a ton of value. I don't know if you realize it or not, but even for myself and for our listeners, just the encouragement going down the journey of music and the hardships and just what you've done is phenomenal. I want to ask you, I love your music. You got a beautiful voice. How can our listeners find you? I know you got a website, you got videos, music, CD. How do we find you? How can my listeners connect with you?
Really any way that they find music, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Amazon, I'm on all that, all the platforms, even outside the US. And then really probably my most active place is Instagram. I share a lot about my music and about my life there. So they can follow me just at Natalie Schlab, that's S-C-H-L-A-B-F. And the other way that they can look at me is my website, that's just natalieschlab.com. And I actually have, if you go to my website and click connect, they can subscribe to my email list and they can also get updates there.
I love it. We will definitely be jumping on, connecting, and sharing some of your stuff. Natalie, as we part, what is some advice that you would like to leave with our listeners?
I would say that whatever you are called to, whatever vocation or gifting that you have, has dignity and beauty because God created it, and there's no job that's meaningless. So even if you're doing something that you don't really feel like you're ultimately going to do, or maybe you're just paying the bills, we don't always get to do full time what we dream of. But that work has dignity because God has made all work good and profitable. So don't be discouraged if you're not being able to do your dreams. Do your work with dignity. Do it well. If you can move into it full time and get paid for it, that's great. But if you can't, you can still do whatever thing that you feel like is your dream on the side and just do it faithfully. Do your job faithfully and do whatever side job that you have. And who knows if it will turn into a full-time job. But I think it's important to cultivate that, even if it's not full-time.
Man, girl, I love it. Young and young and wise.
Well, I get most of my thoughts from people that are a lot smarter than I am. So
You know what they said? I heard a guy the other day say that good musicians, and I'm paraphrasing again because I don't remember, but he's basically saying like a good artist creates, but even better artists steal. And that's true, because if you can take something that's good and then you just, you're able to make it even better, then you have something that's phenomenal. So anyways.
Yeah, I think that C.S. Lewis said something like, don't worry about being unique, tell the truth and you'll find yourself being unique. And I think that that kind of goes along with the thing. It's like, you don't really have to worry about being unique or doing something totally different, because you're borrowing from everybody. And I think that's really good.
I love it, man. Man, we should just have you on more often. We'll just do motivational thoughts of Natalie, man, and we'll just encourage the whole Roar Nation. So.
Oh, well, you're a great host. It was really fun talking.
Well, I appreciate it. You're fun. Natalie, hold on just a second, and we'll chat a little more. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you got a lot of value out of finding purpose, direction, and even the hardships of life, even though at times when we're going through them, I believe that they are stepping stones of things that God has placed in front of us to step on and to rise above to the next thing. So I just encourage you in your walk today to go forward, whatever God has for you, do great things, do it with integrity, and steward it well. And if you need help, please reach out, email us, get on our Facebook. We are sharing videos every day of people from different platforms. As you know, we now have a business, fitness, spiritual success, and a creatives podcast all on here Monday through Friday. So please tune in. I will not be your guest on the other ones, but I have brought on 5 other guests who I believe are even better than myself, or I would not have brought them on. So you will enjoy them. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.